Hey, little stinkers, enjoy this public version of Second Wind, our bonus show where we deep dive into player decisions, world questions, and more from Tales from the Stinky Dragon podcast. Until we figure out the future of the show, any upcoming premium content is going to be free to everyone. So thank you for supporting the show.
Hello and welcome to Second Wind, episode 45. I really wish we had wind sound effects that could be, or even fart sounds, I guess.
I feel like they simultaneously at the same time.
Anyway, we're here for you because I'm sure you have a lot of questions. I'm sure they have a lot of questions. I'm Micah Reisinger, writer, editor, composer of the show, and I'm here with...
I'm Chris Damaris, and I play Barney Farney.
And I'm Barbara Dunkelman, playing Elga Von Brath, or Elga Farney? Question mark?
So there's a lot to break down in this episode.
Dude, what the heck?
there was a few moments, and I'm curious, what things, I know there's probably obvious things that stood out to you, but are any moments that you really enjoyed in this particular battle encounter scenario?
I don't know if enjoyed is the right word. I was very worried for us in this encounter because I was like, I don't think there's any way we, because a bunch of us were already low on HP. And I don't know how we were going to take Eddie, Hugo, Avina, and also this Ferrati, who are clearly under some type of enchantment or spell or I don't know what from Count Von Brath. But I was really worried that we would not make it out.
That's fair.
So, yeah.
I felt like, I don't know, I still had a handful of healing spells, so I was going to try and bring people. Like, I had that as a bet, but unless I died, in which case
it wouldn't matter. We'd be out of luck.
But my favorite moment, just pure combat, was when I got that bell.
The silver bell?
The silver bell. I was like, I'm going to eat that bell. I still might eat it.
You might eat it. You should eat it. See what happens.
I have a thing that I can eat metal.
You have a thing that you could eat metal?
Yes.
Did you know about I wouldn't.
What? I don't know what that means.
I have an item.
Uh-huh.
I have to say a limerick, and then I can eat metal. And I already had it written out.
Oh, I do remember that.
I got it forever ago, and I wrote a limerick.
It was in Parrish.
Yeah, and Parrish. if I'd gotten the bell and still had my action, I would have eaten it.
I mean, there's next episode. You never know.
It's so funny, like theorizing behind the scenes of the show, because like after episodes, it's like, okay, well, who could this person be and how could they be related? And we knew that like there was a lot of crossover based on these visions people were having and like people's backstory. I was convinced that Elga's mom was going to be Barney's daughter. I thought that was going to be a thing.
Gonna be Barney's daughter. Okay.
I thought like maybe I was his granddaughter or something like that. But the whole twist of, I guess, Hugo taking in Elga and like probably doing something to her to make her a vampire and keep her under some type of spell, or I don't know what happened. That is a twist I was not expecting.
Yeah, the Hugo being so bad, I was not expecting. That was a good. That was a good turn. Yeah, just because I don't know, really, just like quite literally, I think for Elga, like turned her world upside down.
Yeah, completely.
But also, we
like a bat.
But also, I feel like we were going off of like Elga's kind of
impression
mm-hmm. of characters for the most part.
Yeah. Which she would, you know, she would assume her family's all good and like have her best interest in mind and be good people because like, yeah, she's clearly under some type of thing.
Yeah. I don't know. Did you have, I mean, I saw your face in that moment.
Yeah.
I took a picture because it was like,
I'm still kind of in shock. That is a twist I was not anticipating. But I don't know. I feel like whenever certain things are kind of like left as a mystery, like how we saw Marnie and your two sons, but you're like, where's your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Where's your daughter? And I was like, well, who could be the daughter? Like, she must be someone we've seen or like is in here somewhere. I guess it's me. But now I'm confused of like, well, who's Avina? And like, is that mm-hmm. Hugo's only daughter? And then who's Countess Von Brath? And was she under some type of like control?
And she's not a vampire.
She's not. And,
I mean, it was one of the. I had.
Is Count Von Brath a vampire?
You can ask him.
My whole world is.
You can ask him.
He had a silver bell and he was ringing it, and that caught me off guard.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was it was something that had, like, because of the saying, it's like, it's not the hour or it's not ours.
It's not the hour or it's not ours. I think we never really figured out what they said.
That rang like a bell. and I was like, it's not, you know, and that made me think about, well, possibly Elga being.
Like saying it's not, she's not ours, she's, yeah, kind of thing.
But.
Interesting.
That, I mean, again, that was like, I think it's also, it's not the hour also totally could have played.
Are we ever going to figure out what those visions were?
Yeah, I think so. I think you'll start putting things together. And I don't ever want to like leave you guys totally
sure.
in the black.
It's interesting though, because, and I was talking to Micah about this in the bathroom. I feel like
where we have all our right. important conversations.
Well, it's like the episode before this was like I felt like the tension between Elga and Barney got the highest.
It was very
about,
high.
Like,
yeah. Well, because Elga wanted to protect her dad and Dracula and everyone who, like, she considered her family and her people from Barney, who clearly was, like, very angry and, I mean, justifiably so.
And he wanted to find out how to find and also, like, I don't know what to say as far as, like, make his family remember him.
Yeah.
You know, like.
This week on Farney Family Feud.
And then, you are not the father, turns out.
And it was one of those things. I mentioned this in the last second one where you know, I think Barney said, like, you say you're sorry, but, you know, to talking to Dracula, but you didn't do anything. And then Elga was like, well, you didn't do anything, which turns out to her is true. But that to Barney, that's like Barney's, like, I think his biggest, like, regret. And something that has haunted him. And, like, he's just, like,
reacted, like, kind of extremely.
Yeah, I think it was just really, like, that in that moment, it, like, it hurt him.
For sure.
And so that's, it just, like, because I think that's his, I don't know, like, of everything is, like, it's, he's had his whole life. And it's kind of culminated of him, his inability to act because of fear has made him, taken him to his old age.
Well, I think one of my favorite parts, on top of all the things that happen, the lore drops and stuff like that, obviously those are cool, but I really liked when you finally gave Chip the Fang Frost. That was a good little detail.
It's funny, fun fact about that, or a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to give Chip the Fang Frost for a while now. Because I didn't really need it, and I knew, like, he really wanted it, and at first, like, that's why I wanted to take it in the first place.
Yeah, of course.
But I was thinking about when Carol died. Mm. I was thinking, like, oh, it'd be a nice moment if, like, while consoling Chip, she, like, gave him the Fang Frost. But then Barney swooped in and is like, I made you this wooden thing.
Oh.
And I was like, well, now I'm not going to give Chip something also. So.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I just kind of, like, held on to it. For like another little bit until it felt right. And I was like, okay, this is like a huge moment and Elga really needs everyone's help. So
it's poetic justice, you know, that Elga would give Chip a fang.
Yeah.
As a gift.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought it was like, okay, this seems like a good time while they're in the heat of this like really crazy moment.
Yeah, I think it's cool. And you got to use your new axe too, which is, I think, a good thing.
I did. There's some functionality to that axe that I want to try out at some point.
Yeah.
Like the bat barrage and stuff like that.
Ooh.
There's still so many things to do, so many things to try.
Well, we have some questions.
Yes.
Well, I have a question. So
we have a question from
Chris.
Question,
but for,
this, like, never happens.
How do you think, and you can save it too if you want for an episode, but how did Elga feel like it with that thought, like with just that
I
knowledge?
Think,
is it just like.
I think right now she's probably still in shock because, like.
Hanging on a ledge.
Yeah, the photo changed, right? So, like, before it used to be. I think there's a picture of her and her sister.
I think it's what you said, yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's a different picture. So it's like, I think she's probably still in, like, doesn't know what to believe kind of state. Because, if you imagine you've been living this life for so long and then all of a sudden, like, everything you know is essentially a lie. It's like she would probably have a hard time, like, really grasping what's happening. So I think probably in the next episode, we'll, I'm sure, dive into that more. But it's, you know, we'll find out.
Yeah.
TBD. I mean, it's literally like the floor fell out from under you. Hey, you know?
Planned that on purpose, didn't you? A realization
irony.
With a realization.
Irony.
Yeah.
Well, questions. So for everybody, this question is from Splendy the Tire God, which is an excellent name. What, if any, would your character's theme song be? Benny Hill, Another One Bites the Dust. We talked about this last time, but we wanted to ask Elga this time.
Yeah. I'm blanking on what it's called right now, but it's like... Knees.
Oh, yeah.
So song has like, what's the...
Where's Blaine when we need him to sing?
It's some type of like heavy metal, like really cool, badassery kind of thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, another question I have for y'all is, this is from Prince Derbat. I think I'm saying that right. Do time constraints / comedy genre podcast make it harder for you to role play, or do you still feel like you have the freedom to deeply explore your characters and relationships?
That's a good question.
Yes.
I think, to me, the best comedy is done when there's a juxtaposition of other emotions as well. Like when you have the two sides of a coin in that, like, to me, the best comedies also have like really great, like, sadness and like
drama
and like stuff like that. So to me, I think it's nice to have that. So it feels like the comedy feels even stronger because you have those moments of like down and up and like strong emotions like that. So I think like every now and then we want to keep it somewhat light because ultimately it is a comedy podcast, but I don't think that takes away from having those like other kind of feels.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the improv and the it doesn't, to me in any way, like take away from the comedy, like the character. Yeah. I don't know. To me, that's where it comes from. It's like the characters and the drama and the story. It helps also, I think, when the story's intertwined with the characters.
I will say it is harder to improv moments of like anger or sadness versus comedy, because comedy is just like, yeah, you make silly little jokes and like could like, you know, him and ha with each other. But the moments of like in the last episode with Barney getting really mad at Elga, I'm like, I don't know what to do in this situation. Like, this is a little harder to improv and act versus just being fun and goofy.
Yeah,
I think it's different also in the moment here because we don't have like, there's no emotional music underscoring us,
right?
Like the lighting is as it is, you know, like you don't feel the ambiance all the time, and so it's a different vibe than in the finished product.
Yeah, definitely.
It's also, I don't know. I mean, it's hard. I feel like to do to even just do it stuff that is more emotional or dramatic because like you, there might be a scene between like you and one character or an NPC. But everyone else is just watching. or you're just watching and you're like, how do I?
Like, should I jump in here? Should I let them have their moment? Yeah, sometimes it's hard to know. So
I think
this group is really good at it and knowing like when to jump in and when to leave it, kind of up to that character to figure it out.
But I also, I don't know. I think it's good to not be afraid of doing the more serious or dramatic or sad.
I don't think we ever have been. Like, I know the first campaign we did, there was a lot of really good emotion and a lot of like really devastating but also really beautiful moments, especially like in the final arc there, which I think like it seemed to me our audience loved that and like made the show like connect with them more like on a deeper level rather than it just being like, oh, just a silly little comedy podcast. Like, there's actually like deep meaning behind all these things.
I completely agree. It's like the comedy or in like jokes and fun is, I think, the initial like kind of what can bring people in, but what makes it resonate and like it is emotional depth.
Hats off to Micah for writing such incredible stories and plot lines and characters and twists and turns at every moment that keep us on our toes. It really makes the show really
special. I want to write something that I enjoy, what I mean, like that I would want to listen to, and so that's kind of what I bring into this show.
And you still let Blaine on it.
Well, you know, someone's got to.
I'm gonna jump in here really quickly just to give some context to some stuff. One, the song you were looking at, Cameron looked up, I believe it is Welcome to the Jungle.
Welcome to
Thought
the Jungle. That's the one.
That's the one.
Knees.
Also, just want to throw on top of that, like, Gus, Micah, and I, Ben, Ernst, hello, everybody. be a person you don't see in front of the camera a lot.
Hi, Ben. I'll do a hand puppet for you as you talk.
Please, thank you. If you could grab the sleep puppet, that would be great.
Who's talking right now? I don't understand.
God.
One of the things Micah, Gus, and I have talked a lot about is Gus as the straight man. Gus has to play basically the straight man, right? Like,
yeah.
He has to be the storyteller.
He throws in a little bit of comedy there, here and there.
You guys are so good at your chemistry that when you guys are serious, he knows when to jump in and add some comedy or levity when you guys have to take over, basically.
Yeah.
Right? And to have those serious moments. And as you've got changed from Infinites to Grotesque, you've figured out how to jump in and show more of that, like, serious moments versus comedy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Gus is a... MVP for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great DM.
Got a couple questions on the backside of the episode stuff. How long does an episode take typically to go from recording to being finished in post-production? That's by Fluffy Manimal. Fluffy, an excellent question. It depends. We have been recording ahead of schedule a lot, but typically from when it records to when it's released can be as close as a week, if not shorter sometimes, but... we have to really crunch and turn it around sometimes when we have less time on our hands. So that means, like, we record, we have go through a rough edit of what, like, getting rid of, like, silences or, like, people, like, talking over each other or something like that, and then adding in some VO, adding in some music, sound effects, and then we push it out there into the podcast sphere, and you get to listen into your ear holes.
It's... I mean, you summed it up very quickly. It's a lot of work, and it's a very impressive...
It's 2 seconds of work. That's all it is. 2 seconds of
work. Multiplied by 2 million.
There are a lot of... I mean, making a podcast is... Any podcast is a lot of work, but...
sound design.
Something like this with sound design and making NPCs and just the amount of... The
and
number
the original
of
score.
People just talking at once and then, making music... And
having to edit out all of our mistakes and things we shouldn't say.
You guys
say.
Never make mistakes.
The amount of time this episode, I think, we said, cut that.
But it is a lot of work. And so I don't, you know, we're recording this. It's March, but I don't know when it'll come out. But yeah, it is a lot of work. And we're hoping to continue doing it. And if you're watching this and you're probably.
Well, if you're seeing this.
Yeah, then you're probably. And so
you are
thank
watching
you. Because. Yeah, it's an impressive amount of post.
It's a tribe that does it together, and I appreciate that. I really enjoy making it, and I wish I had more time to put into it. You know, it's hard. I'm not going to say like it's an easy job because I'm doing 3 things every week, and I wish I could put 100% into every single thing, but something's going to give sometimes.
Yeah.
So that means sometimes I can't write as much music, or I won't have as much time to dig into the nitty gritty details of writing. Or so on and so forth. And so I appreciate when I get to give those things their due in time. It's because of you that we get to make stuff like this. So I appreciate you guys supporting the show a whole time. And another question from one of y'all is, how do you handle homebrewing a class, for example, with Elga?
Vampire.
And we actually came to find out later as Barney. Barney has his own homebrew class as well.
Which we still don't know, do we?
Well, kind of.
I mean, I know.
That's something I need to figure out, too. We saw Barney's grave.
There's stuff about Barney I've still never, on his character sheet, I've never used.
Yeah, okay.
Like, just because, I don't know.
We do know he's homebrew, though.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, I did a couple things first. I researched the heck out of stuff. I wanted to make it accessible for y'all. Because no matter if it's cool or it has a lot of details... It's really hard in D&D sometimes, you guys can appreciate this, that there's just a lot you can do, even just in combat.
Yeah.
And when it comes to your turn, you're like, well, I could do, I could do that. No, that's more advantage. No, wait, I did that last time. You know, like, there's all these, like, spells and features, and every class has, like, magic, even if they're a non-magical person.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what it comes down to, is making it really simple and automatic in a sense.
And they all seem to make sense, too. It seems
it's got
to
have a purpose, right?
Like, as a vampire, having cold person, some reason, it just seems to, like, make sense. Of just like, yeah, you'd think that, like, a vampire would have that kind of ability.
Yeah, so I looked at vampires, like, stat blocks. I looked at some of what other people have made and seen how they've structured around. I didn't want to give you too many abilities. And all at once, they came over, like, oh, gosh. I think it was, like, at level 1, you got something really small. Level 3, you got something 5, 7, that kind of stuff. And I think it caps off maybe at 7 or so. Yeah. I think this is maybe the last thing you got. But one of those was like you got to become a bat.
Yep.
You know?
Bit. Which I found out David's not here today, but David Saunier, who is like assistant editor and helps us post on social, does a ton of stuff for Stinky Dragon.
Yeah.
He, I guess, showed his wife. I think it's his wife.
Yeah.
Like part of that episode. And she thought I was saying butt. And so now apparently they go around just going butt.
That'd be frightening for another reason.
Yeah.
Just a flying butt.
Turned into a butt.
So
that's why it's called Stinky Dragon.
There you go. That's why like Mateed has some things too. We've talked about they can like go through, it can be apparate basically and go through walls. They can possess people. We've seen them try to do that a couple times. And I wanted them to be like not overpowered. So basically I went into D&D Beyond because it's typically what we use for character sheets in the show. And I built in a homebrew class and just kind of put things that would come up in different levels.
Yeah. Like things you're resistant to, things you're vulnerable to, all that stuff too.
Yeah, exactly. Like necrotic came up in this episode where Mateed was resistant to that and so on. But that's kind of how I made it. You can make it even simpler and just tell the player, like, this is what you're going to get at this level or whatever. But that's kind of how we did it in the show.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
I like making stuff that's particularly for that player, you know?
It's also just gives a unique take on D&D. Like, it's still the basics of 5e, but, like, you have just something that makes it a little more interesting.
Yeah.
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 I think that's the difference, though. It's like, last campaign was more fantasy, high fantasy flair.
Yeah.
And this campaign is more horror. And so I was thinking, well, they're going to be in a monstery world. Why not give them monstery abilities? Yeah. You know?
We had a lot to choose from. At some point, we should probably go over all those different options that you gave us
and
like what that would have looked like.
I'm just thinking about how different the story would have been.
One of us could have been a blob.
If Barney was a blob.
Or Elga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, if we didn't have, like, hers a vampire.
You just sound more like Cliffley.
Yeah. Next campaign.
It was basically the classes. Yeah, there's, I mean, a lot of classic monsters. Like wasn't one of them like an alien? Like we could
Abralian.
Abralian.
Yeah. Could have been Abralian.
It's funny.
And zombie was one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tons of stuff.
Yeah, so many. That would just. I mean, I guess also though because it's the so much rooted in character, like.
Yeah.
To take out a character or drastically change a character, it would just like, oh, yeah, that's a different story entirely.
Absolutely.
I didn't read the rest of that question. This was by Mega Bush, by the way. I don't think I said that. Mega Bush, thank you for the question.
Mega Bush.
One of my players wants to have a cottage witch class, and I'm thinking of combining druid and wizard, but I have no idea how to homebrew. Well, yeah, that's the difference between homebrewing a class and a race. I don't think I said that. Like a species. We're talking about homebrewing races and species. Class would be something different. Yeah, you can definitely homebrew a class and just, you don't have to do it all over again. Just reskin something that's already out there, you know? That's the name of the game in D&D is you don't have to come up with something from the blank page. You can borrow what someone else, or borrow a couple things, make it your own.
I hope they'd have, like, candy, like, fort abilities.
I was thinking, like, cottage cheese abilities, but yeah.
Oh, but you said witch, though.
Cottage witch, yeah.
Cottage.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking,
back around.
So it's like, quickly, instead of a tiny hut, it's like a tiny candy cottage.
I mean, you're right. It probably is more like a candy, like Hansel and Gretel sort of situation.
Yeah, cottage core.
That reminds me. One thing, I think I can say this. You guys went into the Belfry, which is Dracula's place, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And you found the painting, and then you found the sheet music, and then Blaine / John played the piano. I don't know did you recognize that tune?
Has it been in the music before?
It's been in the music every single episode.
Every episode, yeah.
It is the opening theme song.
Okay. In my head, I was like, yeah. It's
I don't know if you guys noticed that.
I'll have to listen
the listeners,
to it.
But it is, yeah. Da, 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 da.
Yep, yep. Okay. That's so funny.
Yeah.
I'm sure the second people hear it when that happens, they're going to go,
Yeah.
Mind blown.
So anyways, thank you all for supporting this show. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for listening. And thank you for letting other people know about the show. We really appreciate that. That makes the world of a difference to us. And we'll see you next time in the next arc of Tales from the Stinky Dragon.
Wait, what?